they convened a meeting with Katzenberg, Frank, Gary Wilson, and strategic planning executives. Roy couldn't attend, but reiterated his opposition to releasing Cinderella on video. Mechanic placed two large posters on easels at the end of a long conference table. One showed emotional issues. Could releasing the animated classics on video undermine their uniqueness by making them too widely available in viewers' homes? And might such a move cheapen Disney's image and cheapen the brand? "We're not here to talk about theories," Eisner began, pretty much dismissing the emotional issues. The ensuing discussion made it clear that, as with most emotional issues, there couldn't be any definite answer. Maybe it would cheapen the brand, but then again, maybe it wouldn't. The other poster was titled Economic Issues. Mechanic estimated that four theatrical releases of Cinderella over the next 28 years, one every 7 years, would generate $125 million in revenue. And $125 million in revenue spread over 28 years had a present value of less than $25 million, given the effect of compound interest over time. By contrast, Mechanic estimated that sales of Cinderella videos at $29.95 would generate $100 million that year alone, in addition to the revenue from the Christmas theatrical release. Whatever the emotional issues, put this way, the numbers were compelling. "What are we waiting for?" Wells asked. Katzenberg wasn't pleased. He pulled Mechanic aside and said he had undermined him by going to Eisner and Wells. "Hey, I thought I was just doing my job," Mechanic said. Roy still wouldn't budge on Cinderella, but agreed to a compromise. Sleeping Beauty. Like Pinocchio, Sleeping Beauty had never performed all that well at the box office. Mechanic doubled the ad budget, marketing Sleeping Beauty as a regal masterpiece, the equal of Cinderella. It sold 3 million units. In the wake of Sleeping Beauty's runaway success, Katzenberg and Roy gave up their resistance to Cinderella, though they still wouldn't let Mechanic release Disney's crown jewel, Snow White, or Walt's treasured Fantasia. The following year, with the aggressive expansion of distribution into discount chains like Calder and Walmart, Cinderella sold 6 million copies, with revenues of $180 million on top of the $34 million Cinderella earned in theatrical re-release. In other words, Cinderella alone generated more revenue in 1 year than the estimate of $200 million Eisner gave the Bass Brothers as the value of the entire Disney film library. Home video sales rapidly became Disney's biggest profit center apart from the theme parks. Despite their initial disagreements, Mechanic felt that Katzenberg and Roy became enthusiastic supporters. The success of Oliver and Company and the stream of video income, not to mention the ongoing sales and license fees from merchandise, slowly began to convince Eisner that animation, as Roy had always maintained, might indeed be the heart of the company. By the end of 1988, just 4 years after Eisner's arrival, Katzenberg's audacious prediction that Disney would be the number one studio at the box office had come true, even earlier than Katzenberg had dared to hope. Roger Rabbit was the summer's big hit, though it didn't quite meet Katzenberg's prediction that it would be the year's number one picture. It was runner-up to Rain Man, which won the Oscar for Best